the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Friends and enemies, welcome to yet another edition of the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. I'm Len. I'll be flying this one solo. No, not really, because I have somebody else that's going to be joining me. And it's going to be the unspent transaction output. UTXO is going to be joining me, which is going to be fantastic. And we're going to be diving deep into Lightning, Noster, BTC Pay Server, a whole bunch of things. And I'm curious to know a little bit more about him, because to be perfectly honest, I have perused his Noster account, so I know somewhat about him, but I'm really excited to learn a little bit more about him, and hopefully you as well will be able to dive deep into this with me. But before we bring him on, there are a couple of things I want to announce. Well, not announce, just bring up. It's got a couple of sponsors. So number one sponsor we have is EasyDNS, and they're the only company we use to have trusted with our website. In fact, we use them to start up our website. So think about that. Like, we are very conscious in who we deal with, and EasyDNS was the people that we wanted to help usher in us to a new era of being into the digital age, where you can actually visit our website and check it out, CanadianBitcoiners.com. So thank you, EasyDNS, for setting this up. So if you want DNS services, they have you covered, because look, it's in the name, EasyDNS. Another thing they have is email hosting. If you have an email server, so if you have email that you're using, say with Gmail or something, and you want to move it off to something else that's more private and give you a little bit more flexibility, well, you could do this. You can migrate all your emails over, and you could have an @domain name that is very personalized to you for your business and everything. So you could not only look like a professional, but you could actually be a professional with that special domain name that's pointing to your email address and to your websites. And if you need help with building your website, EasyDNS is going to help you out. They could provide you with assistance. This company has been around since 1998. Think of all the companies that have come and gone in this space, and this one still remains standing. And there's a reason why. It's because of the customer service they provide is top notch. And with that, check them out, because they also accept Bitcoin, and well, they're privacy focused. So check them out. They're a good place to park your DNS stuff over there. But second thing is, there's Bull Bitcoin, and they're our second sponsor. And they just announced something very exciting with something to do with Costa Rica. We'll be talking about that in our next show, but I don't want to dive too deep into that today. But what I do want to say is, with Bull Bitcoin, you could buy your Bitcoin, you could sell your Bitcoin, but who wants to sell Bitcoin? You could pay your bills with Bitcoin, or alternatively, you could also buy gift cards with your Bitcoin. So you can live on the Bitcoin standard. You could pay your bills, and you could go out in the real world and spend with those gift cards that you bought with Bitcoin, and you could buy stuff like groceries or whatever. So you can live off the Bitcoin standard just the way Satoshi intended you to do. And, you know, if things are going nuts with the on-chain fees, you could always use Bull Bitcoin to buy Lightning, so things will be a little bit cheaper. Or if Liquid is your jam, you could do so. They also sell that as well. But the big thing about Bull Bitcoin is the KYC-free Bitcoin, that you could use your dirty fiat, bring that to a Canada Post location. There's over 6,000 locations in Canada where you could exchange this, and you're good to go. And you could then get some KYC-free Bitcoin. Check it out. Referral code is below. And if you use it, you get 20 bones added to your account after you sign up. But with that being said, I want to bring on the man of the hour, because I can't do this alone. I need some help to do this. And so, well, let's bring on UTXO. Buddy, how are you?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
Wonderful, sir. I don't know if I even that should be warranted for me. I'm just a pleb.
Yeah, that's true. I might have more gray hair than you, actually, come to think of it.
Probably not. I think I'm a few years older than you. I'm in my 46th year on this planet, actually. So,
well, you look great, bud.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. We're gonna do this for a couple hours, actually, to take with that that type of attitude. UTXO, because for the people who are unaware who you are, let's do a deep dive into your history. Who are you, and how did you come into Bitcoin and your Bitcoin journey? I want to hear everything about you.
Okay, sure. I mean, I feel like my journey is probably similar to like the majority of people, right? So I heard about Bitcoin pretty early, you know, thought it was stupid, dismissed it. probably like, you know, 2010, 2011 kind of thing. And then I was actually like a semi-professional poker player, I would say. It was like, you know, I would pay and I would like rely on that income, but I also had a job. And that was like my second touch point with Bitcoin is, you know, in those days, Visa and MasterCard were like very pro censorship in online poker. It was like impossible to make deposits unless you were using these like really weird money transmitter services, right? So Bitcoin was actually like one of the easiest ways to transfer money from one poker site to another. So this is like my second major encounter with Bitcoin. And I hated it, right? Because I would withdraw my Bitcoin. You know, I spent all day trying to like get 10% ROI. And then I log in the next day, Bitcoin is down 30%. It was like, why did I do this? So I absolutely hated it, right? And then 2017 rolls around and there's this huge bull market and I'm just kicking myself that, oh, I could have bought Bitcoin. You know, I would have been rich or whatever. So then I, you know, buy at the top, get wrecked. And yeah, I mean, I'm guessing that a lot of people went down that route, but then, you know, COVID hit and I still had some coins and it was like all the things that you didn't know were true and like sounded a little crazy were like all starting to come true during COVID. So like 2020, I was like, you know what, this Bitcoin thing for sure is real. I'm going to dedicate like all of my life to this. And I just started building. I started working on BTC Pay Server. I started building my own apps. I think a lot of people probably heard of me the first time when I built this site called Bitcoiners.network. And it was a website that told you how many shitcoiners followed you on Twitter or how many. and it was pretty good, man. It eventually got shut down, but like it indexed like over 500 million people on Twitter. Like it was pretty cool. But yeah, it was just way too expensive to run. So I shut that down and just, yeah, I started working on Nodeless, keep working on open source stuff. And here we are today.
Okay. We got to go back when your poker days.
Yeah.
Now, and I don't know if sure if we could disclose this information. You're a Canuck.
Yeah.
And do you want to say, are you able to say where you live within this great nation?
Or yeah, I live in Toronto. People know that. Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. So as a semi-professional poker player, wasn't there options in person that you could have used for playing poker and earning money or no?
Oh, yeah, definitely there were. But at least the style that I would play is it was like multi-table. So I would open like 12 or 16 tables and just play all at the same time. But it's like it's not as crazy as you think. Like that strategy is you basically just fold everything except for the best hands. So other people are like gambling, having fun, and you always have strong hands. You eke out a very small profit, at least like way back then. Mm-hmm. That was like a pretty easy way to make a small amount of money every month. So yeah, that's how I did it.
That's at the time then using Bitcoin. I know, and you're mentioning that you're trying to chase say 10% gains, but in a day the Bitcoin price drops 30%, so you're losing in the end. The difficulty in actually using Bitcoin back then, you can talk about it because I got in 2017, and when I got in, it was relatively easy. I went to Coinbase, signed up, bought, and went from. Actually, I left it on the exchange for a little while before I moved it off into a wallet. That's my Bitcoin journey. But when you were doing it back then, how difficult was it to transact with Bitcoin?
Well, we had Coinbase too. I mean, it wasn't as good and there wasn't an app, but Coinbase was around. There was no like hardware wallets, at least not that I knew of. You know, like you just have to download Bitcoin Core and there's a little like file that wallet.dat that you just like saved on your computer. But usually what I would do is I would withdraw the Bitcoin and put it directly in my casino wallet in like my online poker. They would have a withdrawal address that I would send it to. So, you know, like my balance is being held in Bitcoin at the online poker site and it would just like lose money overnight. It was like, I absolutely hated Bitcoin at the time.
Boy, things have changed in a decade's time. The world is changing. So have all of us. And before we talk about the apps, BTC Pay Server and Nodelist, I just want to touch on this Bitcoiner.network website that you did. Was this something that was just simply trolling the Twitter to try to find, I guess, any mention of a shitcoin that somebody did, and then from there flag them as a shitcoin? Like, what was the process for flagging somebody as a shitcoiner?
Usually it was just like, if you have, like, let's say .eth in your name, or like you have a hashtag of any of the like hex or any kind of shitcoin, you had like an NFT profile picture, like all of these types of things, we would classify you that way. And then like on the Bitcoin side, it was just like, do you have Bitcoin? And like the sort of people that you would follow, like it would kind of infer. But it was just for fun, man. Like I just loved Bitcoin, and we're like in a bull market. I'm like, you know, everything's going up. So I'm like, oh, well, you know, I don't need to spend time working, you know, this Bitcoin is just ripping. So yeah, it was like one of those bull market projects that are just really stupid and useless, unlike like the bear market ones.
Well said. <Yeah. laughs> But how, I mean, why was it shut down? Was it done because of your decision, or did somebody do it for you?
Oh yeah, it was my decision. It was just so expensive. Like, there's so much data on Twitter, and like, you know, constantly like scanning 500 million records like every day. This costs like thousands of dollars in AWS fees to run it. It's just, it didn't make any sense.
I understood. So, okay, let's talk about some of the apps that you're doing now. I know that you're working on BTC Pay Server, and you've submitted a bunch of, I don't know what you call it, submits or code submissions.
Pull requests.
Pull requests, PRs. So PRs. I saw that you also were communicating, or at least referenced Jack Dorsey, and you were doing so because you committed to him that you would be doing some of these PRs for BTC Pay Server. Are you communicating with him? Because Jack Dorsey is a pretty heavy hitter. I'm wondering, what's your connection to him? And like, why did you make this arrangement that with him, that you'll be doing some of this work with BTC Pay Server?
You know, I would love to say that, you know, oh yeah, Jack Dorsey's my boy and everything. But, you know, I've had a few interactions with him. Like, we interact on Noster. I met him in Costa Rica. And when it comes to this BTC Pay Server thing, so a while back, probably like 2 or 3 months ago, and you could check his Twitter thing, I wrote on Noster, I was like, if Jack tweets about nodeless.io, I will donate 100 hours of work to open source Bitcoin projects. And then the guy fucking does it. You know, like, he actually tweeted about nodeless.io, and it got like picked up in the news, and, you know, it was crazy for me. So that's where I was just following up, because, like, I mean, the guy actually did it. So I got to follow through on what I said I was going to do. But the truth is, like, I'm doing this work anyway. Like, it doesn't matter whether he tweeted that out or not. Like, I just always work on BTC Pay Server. I've been doing it for years. And I maintain some of my own open source projects as well in Bitcoin. So, you know, it's a little bit just like tongue in cheek and having fun. But I think it's just, you know, Jack is... he supports Bitcoiners. He supports Nostriges. So he did me this solid. But
that's all.
Yeah, that's all it is. You know, he's not like my boy or anything. I wish he was.
No, that's cool that you even were able to interact with him, because, again, like I said, he's a heavy hitter and he's quite the legend in the social media sphere. And he's like you mentioned, he's a huge proponent of Nostr. He doesn't seem to be all that. At least at the time when he left Twitter, he wasn't all that happy with it. I'm not sure if his mindset has changed since Elon Musk purchased it, but he's now like very much focused on Nostr. He's putting his money where his mouth is.
That's right.
And that's something that's cool. So he's putting, and maybe you can correct me on this, but in terms of building out Nostr, he's putting bounties, or at least paying people to build out stuff on Nostr to make it a better user experience. Did I capture that correctly?
He's done a lot. So for one, he donated $10 million to OpenSats, and like half of that, I don't know if it was like his direction, but half of that money is going towards Nostr projects. So that's already huge. Like Nostr Rica, he paid for the whole thing. I don't know for sure if he's doing it for Nostr Asia, but I'm pretty sure he is, like, because I don't know where else to fund. There's no sponsors or anything. So He's doing a lot, and he's definitely putting his money where his mouth is. He's an absolute legend, man. You got that right.
He is, man. It's through you, actually. I kind of indirectly have connection to a legend, which is great. Your connection with BTC Pay Server, I want to dive deep into this. So for people who are unaware, what is BTC Pay Server? It's essentially a server which you run on a computer local to you, or it could be even remote, but somehow there's a connection to it. So a merchant can be using this as a way for collecting Bitcoin, and it's done all through BTC Pay Server. It's a free and open source project. The wallet is self-hosted through the BTC Pay Server program, so you have direct access to your wallet. If you lose your keys, it's your fault. So essentially, that's what it is in a nutshell. Did I capture that correctly? Is there anything I'm missing from BTC Pay Server that you want to add?
No, I mean, that is the essence of it. But it does have, you can also accept Lightning. So, you know, a BTC Pay Server instance usually includes a Bitcoin node, a Lightning node. There's other cool functions in it now too. You can use it for self-custodial Nostr's apps, which is also really cool. Or if you just want an easy way to run a Lightning node stack and you don't even want to accept payments, like instead of using Umbral or Start9, like BTC Pay Server is also a replacement for that. So it's just like an all around like goat open source project, in my opinion.
So so you mentioned it takes Lightning, and so obviously on chain as well. In terms of that, if you want it to set it up so you could use it as a Lightning point where you could collect funding like that. The way I understand it is when you want to run a Lightning node, you have to have a full Bitcoin node. Is that correct? Like those two tend to go hand in hand. But when you run BTC Pay Server, if you're running that as a standalone, do you need to run a node along with that, like a full Bitcoin node or even a Prune node, or is that not the case?
So to run BTC Pay Server, there always has to be a Bitcoin node involved, but you could in theory like connect to somebody else's node. It does not have to be a full node to run Lightning. There is a bare minimum amount of pruning. I think you need a minimum of 40 gigs for Lightning to work. But no matter what, in BTC Pay Server, there's always a node.
And in terms of your commitment, your code commits to BTC Pay Server, what have you done? Because you've done numerous. I think I'm going to guess around 10. Maybe I'm wrong in that number, but what have you done to improve the product and make it better for everybody else?
So the big part of BTC Pay Server that I work on is something called a software development kit. So let's say you have a WordPress website or a PrestaShop website, WooCommerce, one of these things, one of these open source e-commerce platforms, and you want to connect it to BTC Pay Server. There are all these plugins that you use, right? Like a BTC Pay Server plugin for your store. So the part that I work on is it helps connect that plugin to BTC Pay Server in something called a software development kit. So it's like working on the pipes of the back end. You know, it's not like the sexy front end part that you work on. But like what I do is sort of two pronged. So one, I write a lot of test cases. So if there are any bugs in the API, it's usually like my test cases that are catching these. And for all of the websites, like whenever there's a plugin like external to PHP, it's usually using this the software development kit that I work on with Ndeet, who is like the lead maintainer of that.
So in terms of the software development kit, is that being constantly changed to allow for outsiders to connect to it, or do the outsiders need to change their interface to connect to it? Like which is the more true of the two ideas here? Is it you guys, the software development kit has to slowly advance or change to allow them to take advantage, or do they have to change their software to take advantage of the software development kit?
So as BTC Pay Server updates, it adds new functions to its API, right? Like maybe they want to add the ability to like send an email directly from BTC Pay Server. That's a recent one that they've done. So now there are these new functions in the API. So now if you want to update your BTC Pay Server, you want to take advantage of those new features, then you would use the SDK that would make it really easy. So like part of what we have to do is stay on top of what BTC Pay Server does. Anytime they add a new feature, we need to like have the corresponding tools built in the SDK.
And in your mind, do you think that as Bitcoin becomes adopted more and more moving forward, is theoretically every merchant would be running their own instance of a BTC Pay Server, or would there be some cases where it's a shared BTC Safe or BTC Pay Server between merchants?
So, I mean, the dream is, you know, the utopian view is that everybody's like kind of a cypherpunk and thinks node running is very, very important, just like we do. but that's not the reality of you know, the world. Most people, if they're like interested in Bitcoin, they want something just like simple and easy. They don't want to have to like think about this and get hosting. So there's like a range of ways people accept Bitcoin, like all the way from using Coinbase Commerce or OpenNode, Nodeless, BTC Pay Server. There's going to be a lot. And I don't see the majority of businesses out there being node runners, frankly. I don't see that happening.
So one of the things that came out this past week was news from BTC Pay Server. They're going to be releasing an app. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that piece of news, or even if how much inside information you have that you can disclose on this. So I'm going to try to pick in your brain here. And if we cross a line that we can't cross, feel free to say no. I can't talk about it. But so for people unaware, this is an announcement by BTC Pay Server people that there's going to be an app that's going to be released that you could use on your phone. And that could be a way, rather than running the server itself, this could be a very simplified version of using BTC Pay Server to accept payment, Bitcoin payment, as a merchant. So can you talk a little bit more about this? Like, is it going to be needing high-end phones? I mean, I want to hear a little bit more about this, because the only thing I got was that tweet from them, and I want to scratch the surface if I can. So
sure. So I'm not speaking on behalf of BTC Pay Server at all, like in any of this, and I was not involved in the development of that app, but that app is following like this new wave of self-custodial Lightning wallets, which I love to see, where basically you use a Lightning service provider to give you liquidity. You know, so Voltage is doing this. Zeus just launched it. You know, Mutiny Wallet uses Voltage. Pretty sure Phoenix Wallet does it this way too. You connect with the async node. So BTC Pay Server, I imagine, without having looked at it, like I'm just pretty sure this is how it works, is they're using some kind of LSP, probably Voltage or someone like that, so that people can run BTC Pay Server and like have Voltage manage the liquidity. But you still have a node. So Neutrino nodes can run on your phone. That's how Mutiny works. That's how Zeus works. That's how Phoenix works. So it's like you do need a slightly better phone. Like I don't think a 5-6-year-old phone is going to run this, or it's going to be pretty slow at least. But you know, any new Google Pixel phone can run these nodes like right in the browser now.
A Neutrino node. What are the requirements for this? I know you're mentioning if it's an older phone, probably not. But in terms of like data usage and stuff along those lines, is it always on this program? Is it going to be a huge drain on the battery? You're going to notice a massive jump in data usage throughout your month, because I'm not familiar with it. So I want to hear your thoughts on theoretically how people can use this with their phone. Is this going to be something that's going to be a nuisance for them, or something that's going to help them?
So all of these things could be configured differently. I believe how Zeus works right now is the node is only running when your app is open. So because when you first open Zeus, it takes like probably 90 seconds to boot-ish, like 60 to 90 seconds. Like maybe that's like not the best experience, like compared to Wallet of Satoshi or something, but it does tell me that the node is not always online. Otherwise it would sort of boot instantly. And I haven't noticed any battery draining. But this also brings into question like the interactivity issue. So like, can you receive a payment if you don't have the app open at that time is going to be the trade-off. Like if you want to receive a payment at any time, then you do need that app to be open at all times. So I'm guessing for a merchant, this is fine. You know, they're just going to have like a cheap Android tablet that they just have plugged in at the cashier or whatever, and it's fine. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. Always keep that guy plugged in, and that could function as what you're describing here. In terms of what's coming up for a BTC Pay Server, are you excited for anything that is in the pipeline that is going to be, I don't know, something that's going to entice people to use it more moving forward? I'm sure you're probably going to know about like what's being worked on and what's coming up. Are you able to talk about what's exciting for you, or are you going to keep this under wraps?
Not really, man. Like I'm just a contributor. I just freely choose to donate my time to BTC Pay Server, but I'm not
you know better than I do. That's why.
Okay, yeah, so like, yeah, maybe that. But like, I'm not on like on any special meetings. I don't have insider information. I just have information that everybody else has. Whoever gotcha. Wants it. But yeah, I mean, this point of sale app is absolutely massive, because that's a huge barrier for people. It's like, if you can't accept BTC Pay Server unless you first like have a hosting account somewhere, like this is too much for just a new business that doesn't know anything about Bitcoin. But now you can just be like, oh, just download the app and it just works. You know, yeah. Like that is way better experience. So I'm super bullish on this new point of sale app. I think this will make BTC Pay Server like 10 times bigger. So very bullish. For sure.
Because if you could take away a lot of the administration of setting up your own server and doing it like on a computer or on a remote server somewhere else, and just simply running it on your phone, simply downloading it, setting this, putting the settings in that you need, and just going from there. Yeah, man, 10 times better. You're understating it. It's going to make this thing immensely better. Not that it's bad right now. I think it's a very good product right now as it is. But something like this, it could open up doors moving forward. It could, any sort of merchant out there that wants to use Bitcoin, take in Bitcoin, the friction for doing so it's lost. It's so much easier. And as this thing continues to evolve further, it's almost the ceiling is unlimited. Self-hosting too, like so many bullish things here. I cannot speak enough good things about it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. For me, like I see this, it's like this is really bullish. The only hindrance, I guess, here in Canada is merchants are reluctant to take Bitcoin for a number of different reasons, and partially because of the price of Bitcoin, it goes up and down quite a bit in comparison to Canadian dollar. The Canadian dollar, you know, you could make an argument it's more stable over time; it goes down. But day to day, you know what you could buy it day to day, week to week, month to month with Canadian dollar. With Bitcoin, probably not as much. But also with Bitcoin in Canada, when you sell it, you have to note how much it is you bought the Bitcoin, note how much you sold the Bitcoin, and then you have to report that to the tax authorities over here for capital gains or capital loss taxation. It's a headache. It's a nightmare in some cases. So that's, for me, is the biggest hurdle here in Canada. But that's not a BTC Pay Server issue. That's simply just a law issue more than anything else.
And a compliance issue. You know, like there are plenty of Chinese restaurants I've gone to over the decades that are cash only, and you know, mm-hmm. I wonder how much they're reporting on everything. You know, I am seeing a lot of interest. Believe it or not, like a lot of people are very open to this. They just don't really know, and they don't have like salespeople actually like asking them if they want to accept Bitcoin. You know, like if there's just like a customer asking a waitress, like, oh, do you accept Bitcoin? And then like put it on Twitter, like that doesn't really do much. But if you talk to a business owner and you say, do you want to increase your sales? Do you want to reduce your chargebacks? Do you not want to pay 3% to your credit card fees when you're paying like $4,000, $5,000 a month? This, you have their attention. So it, like the approach makes a big difference, but I'm seeing a lot of openness to it on my end.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize when you go to a restaurant and you swipe your card that, you know, 2, 3, 4%, whatever it is being taken by the card, Visa, MasterCard, whomever it is. And yeah, if that could be captured by the merchant rather than paid off to the credit card company, well, their operating expenses just got a little bit better because as a result of all this. I just wanted to touch base on the Nostr's apps that is included with one of the features of BTC Pay Server. Can you talk a little bit more about this? Like, how does this function and how does one set it up? Because I wasn't aware of this and I just want to learn a little bit more about it myself, to be honest.
Sure. So there's a new plugin that was made by Kooks, who is a real core OG BTC Pay Server dev. And if you go to BTC Pay Server, you click on plugins, you'll see a Nostr plugin. And basically, you just pick your Lightning address, you know, whatever. If you have BTC Pay Server, it's like you at CanadianBitcoinerPodcast.com or probably .ca, I don't know. And it just automatically works. Like you just type that in and then you put it on Nostr and now Zaps are going to your node. It's so easy. And it is self-custodial. Like it is, you know, I will say too, like compared to Albi and Wallet of Satoshi, you know, it's not as fast and zippy and sometimes it's not as perfect, but those do go directly to your own node, so you can't get rugged, which is big.
Yeah, so self-custody, it's a big thing. We talk about it a lot in the show, and you're right, like something like Wallet of Satoshi, yeah, simple to use and is quick, seamless, and payments tend not to fail, but it's custodial. So there's an element of risk that when you're using it. And one of the benefits of using Bitcoin is, well, you can control your keys. And when you do so, nobody could take it away from you. So using this Nostr's apps feature, the plugin for BTC Pay Server, enables you to take advantage of one of the best fundamentals, one of the best features of Bitcoin, which is self-custody. So totally agree with that. I want to talk about Nodeless, because actually, before we go there, is there anything else you want to talk about BTC Pay Server, anything you want to pump, or anything that you want to bring up that I missed? Because
it's
a good opportunity to talk about
it. I think we got into a decent amount. I'm sure we'll hop back into it if there's anything.
Okay. Nodeless.io. Let's talk about that. I'm just going to pass it over to you, because what's your connection with this?
So I'm the founder of Nodeless.io. Nodeless came about because as I was working on BTC Pay Server and getting merchants to sign up, I noticed this recurring theme that running the Lightning node was just way too difficult for most people. Even the most hardcore Bitcoiners don't run Lightning nodes. You know, there's only 17,000 of them, but there are like millions of Bitcoiners. So like, where are all the nodes at, right? So that was kind of the realization for me, is like, you know what, it is too hard, especially for just a regular merchant. They want to focus on their business, you know, and building great products. They don't want to have to like suddenly have all this mind share just to like, so like 2% of their customers can pay with Bitcoin. Like, this is way too much mind share, way too much effort. Like, if we're just being practical, like, there's one thing to be a hardcore Bitcoiner yourself, and that's great. You know, I'm one of those people, but that most of business is not like that. So we need a solution for them that is still as close as possible to like self-sovereignty as possible, as we can make it. So that's where Nodeless came along, where it's, you know, I'm basically running the node for your store, but when you accept the payments, so somebody pays you, I immediately through Lightning will send it straight to your wallet. So it's like, instead of you having to run everything, you just sort of have to trust me to forward that to you. And if I don't, if I ever miss one payment, you just like, you know, cut down your service with us. So you take that like few seconds of custodial risk while we forward payments. So we're effectively trying to just like be a router so that you could sort of like outsource the node management to us, but still have that self-sovereignty, still have like, not have to worry about liquidity swaps or anything. Like, one thing we do on Nodeless is, let's say you're a merchant, you just put in your, and you don't really care about Bitcoin. You want to accept it, and then you just sell it and pay your expenses, which whatever, that's reasonable. You just put your bull Bitcoin withdrawal address in Nodeless, and every time you get a payment, we just send it directly to bull Bitcoin. So it can just like connect all your exchanges like that, real easy, no KYC, privacy focused. Like, so that was the goal for Nodeless, to just like try to make it super easy, still pretty much self custody, depending on how hardcore you are.
So when you say no KYC, in terms of the requirements to sign up for account, all you really need, I guess, is just a username, a password, and an address, a Bitcoin address and maybe Lightning address, and that's it.
That's right. Email, password, and a Lightning and on-chain. Yeah, you need both with us. And the reason for that is we always want to have a fallback. So like, if your Lightning address fails for whatever reason, we can always give it to you on-chain, or vice versa. Like, if the fees are so ridiculous, like let's say you only have 20,000 with Nodeless, but the average fee is like 50,000 sats, you know, like I could still send it to you over Lightning. So that's why we like force people to use both of them.
How long has this Nodeless been running on for? Like, when did it start? When was it released to the public? And I'm curious, like, how many months or years has this been running?
So I launched it right before Nostrica, the like beta version, alpha version. So I forget. I want to say it was like March-ish. I know it was snowing in Canada when
year.
I left. Yeah, this year. So yeah, gotcha. Nodeless is pretty new.
In terms of growth, then, are you noticing a steady growth from it? Because we're still in a bear market, and because of that, it's harder to entice new people to come into Bitcoin. It's not like we're not getting new people into Bitcoin. It's just, it's harder to get them in. So you're probably drawing on the existing supply of Bitcoiners that are here right now. So in terms of growth, is it steady? Is it something that's very noticeable? I'm curious to hear how it is, because a new project, it's hard to get people in there. This is an exciting project, but still, I think it's an uphill battle in some cases.
Yeah, well, I mean, nothing is going to match the growth we had when Jack Dorsey tweeted about it. Like, that was massive for the business. But, you know, it's okay. I would say it's steady. You know, it's not mooning or anything, but Nodeless is a little bit early for a few reasons. So one, like you mentioned, Bitcoin is still very volatile, right? And the market rationally responds to that by having like more stable coins for now.
It's reality. I don't agree with it, but I'm just observing it.
Like,
yes.
Like, it's just a fact that that's happening. I wish they were using Bitcoin. That's why I built this company, but you know, they're not. 100%. But that's going to change, right? So that's going to, there's a few things, right? So is when Bitcoin rips again after the halving, people are going to get excited about it, and there's going to be a wave of people want to accept it in their stores. Like, there's going to be these cycles, but also Bitcoin's volatility reduces after each cycle as well. Mm-hmm. So just like as we get bigger and as we have more liquidity, it plays this like reinforcing chicken and egg thing where, well, I don't want to accept Bitcoin because it's too volatile. But the more people accept it, the less volatile it becomes, right? So we just need to like sort of be patient, let it play out. And the business strategy with Nodeless is to sort of just be in position, be ready for when that happens, and, you know, have a well-established name and reputation when the time comes. But for right now, you know, business owners are very rational in being like, the same thing I mentioned with online poker, like, why would I accept Bitcoin? And then it lost half its value the next day. I can't pay my bills. You know, that's a very real business problem.
100%, especially nowadays too. And never mind taking into consideration, you know, the potential volatility of Bitcoin. It's just much harder now to do business given to the environment that we all operate in. And, you know, a lot of businesses, they ran on razor thin margins for profit, and it might have been lost now given what's transpired with all the monetary policy and fiscal policy that's been put upon us. But in terms of Nodeless, do you charge a percentage? Is it like X amount of sats or a percentage? I want to hear how it is that you charge for payments to be done.
So we charge 100 sats plus 1% of every transaction in and out of Nodeless. So you receive a payment, we take 100 sats plus 1%, and then you withdraw it, we take another 1% plus 100 sats. So, and that's universal on all of our services, just dead simple. And that covers like our hosting, liquidity management, swapping, like whether you want it in Lightning, you want it on chain, like we just cover everything. You don't have to worry about like, did your customer pay with Lightning and did they pay on chain? Like, just however you want to get it, we just send it there automatically and you don't have to think about anything. So that's our pricing structure and sort of like what you get with the service.
Does that scale too? You mentioned that's what you charge, but in terms of user growth, do you anticipate like moving forward, you're still going to maintain that 1%? Because that's pretty darn good. And I would imagine as the service is used way, way more, if you're going to be adjusting that, or is this something that you think that you can maintain a 1% plus 100 sats?
You know, my dream is that it gets so big I could scale that down.
Wow.
That would be awesome. But like, I don't really, it's really hard to say. But just on the margins that I'm running right now, like Nodeless is a profitable business already. So I don't see any reason why I would raise them. It already works, and it's more profitable the more people use it, right? Because my infrastructure is like kind of fixed, and I can handle way more traffic than I do now. Like, I have more infrastructure than I need. So if more people use Nodeless, then the business will do better.
In terms of balancing the channels, is this a pain in the ass for you guys, or is this something you're managing pretty good? Because I run my own node, my own Lightning node, and when things are busy, it's almost I have to balance it on a daily basis. But, and I'm just a small time node. I don't imagine the type of requirements and constraints you have over there. So is this something that's really a big challenge? You have this under control?
It's much easier for a company like Nodeless to keep things balanced than it is for a pleb router. Because in our business, it's somebody wants to make a payment, right? So liquidity comes in, but then I send that payment right back out to my client. So it goes right back out. So it's always, it always like naturally keeps itself in balance. Now, some people are paying on chain and some people are paying on Lightning. It's not that perfect, but it's pretty close. And we don't really do routing. So our routing fees are ridiculously high because I don't care about routing. What I'm trying
to... Yeah, you don't want to take advantage of that. You don't want to be involved in that process.
Yeah, my liquidity is in a very particular position for reasons so that I have the best payment reliability. I'm not trying to earn money on routing fees. So that's why my fees are so high. So like if you do want to route through us, you're really going to pay for it. And some people do. That's sure. But what also makes that really cool is like, let's say you want to be an inbound liquidity partner. So you open a channel to Nodeless, you can actually expect people to pay those routing fees to you. Like you could charge us a lot for liquidity because from a payments perspective, it is incredibly low. Like Lightning routers think, you know, 1,000 PPM is really high, but that's 0.1% of a payment. Like if someone paid $50, they didn't feel that. So it's very beneficial for Lightning nodes to connect to Nodeless. But one reason why our node is like, I don't want to like insult plebs, right? But like a lot of plebs are experimenting. They're tinkering around, but like
I am. I'm experimenting. I'm doing this by the seat of my pants. So like, trust me, you're not gonna offend me in any way, shape, or form. This is the truth.
Yeah, and I mean, I was a pleb. My first node, like I didn't really know what I was doing, and I screwed a lot of things up. But the thing is, when you do that, you actually make the Lightning Network less reliable. Which you know, like. That's fine for plebs making payments, but if you're a business and you need to accept payments so you can pay your employees, you can't have a pleb node over Tor on your little Raspberry Pi, you know? Like, this needs to be professionally managed with high availability servers, high liquidity, big channels, with very reliable partners. So taking, like, a very disciplined approach to how we node manage, actually, like, just having that strategy makes it really easy to run day-to-day.
Now, I guess it's running on ClearNet. Is that correct?
Yeah, ClearNet only. If you have a Tor node, you can't even connect to us.
Gotcha.
You can still route to us. Like payments will still route, but you cannot open a channel directly with us.
Gotcha. Just curious, how many channels do you have open? You have this off the top of your head?
I think we have three nodes that are distributed all over the world. So it's probably like between all of them, maybe like 40, 50 channels, something like this.
And is it the three nodes, they're strategically placed because of geographical region? Like, okay.
Yeah, just geographics are being banned. You know, maybe Amazon decides, you know, we don't like Bitcoin anymore, or I don't know. It's just to be redundant and safe so my customers, their payments always work no matter what.
That's interesting. Anything else you want to add to nodeless.io? That I missed? Anything you want to like discuss or anything you want to bring up with it? Because I don't want to gloss over this. I want to make sure that we thoroughly cover it. Sure.
I mean, we can talk about a couple of just like quick things that are good for plebs. So like the big Nodeless business idea is e-commerce payments. Like that is the big opportunity, but like I am a pleb and I like making pleb things. So there's a few functions on it. One, like we offer a Lightning address if you want to use it, and it could be good to use for like liquidity swaps. Like if you have, say you have a bunch of sats on Albi and you want to get them on chain, you can just send them to your Nodeless address and we'll do that for you. We also have a paywalled email. So let's say you want to put your email on the internet, but you don't want to get spammed by everyone. You can use this Nodeless email, and we'll only deliver messages if people pay you in Bitcoin first. So you're safe to sort of like put that email out on the internet, and you'll never get spammed.
Explain how that works. I'm curious. So they have to pay you in Bitcoin first before the email's routed?
Yeah. So basically, you set up your own. Let's say you want a Canadian podcast at nodeless.io. Okay. That's your email. So if I email that, if I try to send an email to it, my server is first going to intercept it and send a message back and be like, a Bitcoin payment is required. So I tried to send you a message. It didn't go through, but then I'm asked to do a checkout. And as soon as I pay it, then my server will send it to your real address, maybe your Proton mail or wherever.
And I could set whatever fee that could be.
Yep. Minimum 1,000 sats, but other than that, it could be anything. Yep.
No, that's I didn't mean to cut you off. You were talking about something else with Nodeless, and hopefully you can get back in your train of thought to figure out what you were talking about.
Yeah, our one last feature is a static donation page. So if you're like an open source developer, content creator, and you want a way to collect donations on your Twitter profile, your website, your podcast, whatever, we have a really quick and easy way. Just set that up, put your Lightning address, and just now things are being forwarded directly to your wallet.
And that's also subjected to the 100 sats plus 1% fee.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yep. All the transactions are.
Very cool. Noster. We're not going to let you go without talking about Noster. And you were Nostrica, you were saying March-ish. You were there enjoying the festivities, enjoying the good weather too, because over here it was crappy weather in comparison too. Yeah, so Lane, you're active on Noster. You're doing a lot on Noster. Talk about it. I want to hear your thoughts and the stuff that you know you like about it, and maybe stuff that you think that should improve with it.
Sure. I mean, I wouldn't say that I do a lot other than like memeing and shitposting on Noster. But I am like, if you want to follow me on social media, which I don't know why you would, but like if you do, Noster is the place to find my shitposting. Because I just like, I fucking hate Twitter. I'm so done with Twitter.
So I don't mean to interrupt. So I did put your Noster ID in the show notes. So if anybody wants to follow you at UTXO, you could do that. I also put your account in Twitter if you want to follow you on there as well. So you have two different ways to follow you. So yeah, I agree. So I just continue on with your point. I just want to make sure that people are aware they could easily follow you. It's in the show notes below.
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, so the one thing that I've built for Noster is a service called relaying.io. So this is a private relay hosting for people. You know, the thing that like Noster, how it works in the back end is all of these notes are being served up by computers called relays. And right now most people are just like relying on big public relays and the generosity and the enthusiasm of developers to like provide these relays. But eventually, you know, if you really want assurance that your notes will last forever and they won't be purged or censored or whatever, and you want to take advantage of the real censorship resistance in Noster, is you have to run your own relay. So relaying.io just makes that super easy for you. Just like you click one button, it spins up in the cloud, it imports all, it pulls all your notes from all your relays. So now you have like a guaranteed way to serve your notes that you're in control of too, because like if you, let's say you want to delete your notes, like it's on your own relay, you do whatever you want. So that's sort of like that service, but to say that I'm doing a lot on Noster does a sort of a disservice to all the amazing builders there. Cause I just do this little thing. Mostly what I do is shitpost.
And to me, that's a lot as it is, because we need content on there, not just people building it, but we need people on there communicating. And you shitposting is a great thing, because I follow you and I enjoy reading some of the shit you put on there. But the relaying.io, I want to talk about this briefly. This is, you mentioned it's a cloud-based solution. Is there any way to have it that you could do it locally? You could download this and have it done locally on your computer, or is this only just a cloud-based idea?
So we run a relay implementation called StirFry, which I think is widely considered the fastest, most performant relay implementation for Noster. And anybody can run that locally. And it's honestly pretty easy. The hard part that people run into is the DNS. Like they don't want their IP address to be on the internet. And, you know, to get around that, there are ways like Tailscale, Cloudflare, like there's these like technical ways to do it, but it's kind of hard. But absolutely, like most people, most all these developers that are running the big nodes, like I think they're just running it on their own locally. But yeah, relaying is not that. We spin them up in the cloud. They're on AWS. And we just like fully manage everything, like the backups, the DNS, the Linux stuff, the database stuff. Like we just do everything for you.
What's the cost?
So for a basic pleb, it's a $7 per month for a relay. So our goal is to just always be cheaper than a blue check. Like if you're willing to pay for a blue check and you're not willing to like have your own self-sovereign notes, then, you know, GFY.
does it scale? I mean, this is like the basic, like the introduction type membership you can get. Is there something more than the $7 a month? I mean, what else could you get aside from this?
Yeah, so there's like a small business one. So basically it's just like the computer gets more powerful the more you want to pay. But if you're just one person and you're not like someone like Odell, you know, like Odell needs to buy beefier server because so many people are trying to fetch his notes, right? But if you're just like a regular pleb and you don't have 200,000 people following you, you can just get by with this like really cheap little server that we sell you. But we do have like the beefier ones if you're a business, or like you want to have many people connecting to the relay. So like, I don't know, let's say you're the Orange Pill app and you want to offer a relay to all your members. You like, we have these like bigger relays where you can just add everybody's NPUB and then only they can write to it.
That's neat. So in terms of, this is for Nostr relays. For people who aren't aware, that's how you connect to Nostr and that's how it stores all the information. Is there a way then if one wanted to, they could download this information after they set it up if they want to store just like the information locally? Because the way I'm looking at it, you're still, there's a reliance, a trust that you are going to be doing it, but still maybe people want to take that information somehow and store it locally. Do they have that ability to just download it and put it on like a portable hard drive or something like that?
So I don't personally have that function yet. It's something we're working on. Like we recently just built the import all function. So like if you opened your relay today, you can import all your notes from a year ago and like, we'll just grab everything. But the ability, the issue that we sort of have on Nostr right now around exporting and like downloading is, okay, well, how do you get it back onto a relay now? Like I could give it to you in like my stir fry format, but everybody does run different relays, different implementations. So it's something we're working on. It's going to be a very easy challenge to solve. And there's certainly no reason why I wouldn't, like these are all public notes, right? There's no reason why I wouldn't want you to download your own public notes. That's the whole purpose of the node. The question is like, what format do you want and how can I make that useful so you can actually take that backup and like restore something with it?
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to pick your brain about Nostr here.
Sure.
Is there a magic number that you say people should be seeking for in terms of the number of relays they should have attached to an account? I'd love to know what that is. Because I think I have around 10 for mine, 10 to 15, somewhere around there. I can't remember the exact number. But I'd love to know. You're more of a Nostr veteran than I am. I use it, but you're far more active. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. How many relays should people be seeking to get?
So in my opinion, it's definitely under 10, because the more relays you add, the more performance issues you're going to run into, the slower and clunkier it gets. So you want the fewest as possible. And you also want the least spammy in general, but you have to find the balance because like, let's say you do a paid relay, right? Like Nostr.wine, it's my favorite relay. You know, I run a relay service. I don't care. Nostr.wine is the best relay. But you got to pay for it. And most people, like if you're new to Nostr, you're definitely not going to come in and like buy a relay your first thing. So like all the new users, you're not going to find them on Nostr.wine. I shouldn't say that. Like these guys are geniuses there. So maybe they figured out a way to like show you new user. I don't know. But you definitely want less than 10. You want premium ones like Nostr.wine. But what the other trick is, you want to use a blaster service for your own node. So even though you've only connected to 10 to read, you can use like Mutiny Wallet has a blaster instance where if you connect to the Mutiny Wallet node, as soon as you send out a note, they will blast it to like 200 relays. So yeah, you want like 10 fast read relays plus your blaster node, whatever that is. I use Mutiny Wallet personally. Shout out Tony, my boy. And yeah. That's the play.
That's very good. I like that. I like that because I think on mine, I think they're all set to read and write. I'm going to fix that. So I'm going to have one blasted relay and then the rest I'll just put as read only. That's good. That's very good information. And you were talking about Nostr.wine as one of the better paid relays. What are your thoughts on paid relays? Is it something people should be looking to get as they get more and more knee deep or neck deep in Nostr?
I think yes, because well, for a few reasons, like the free relays you're going to see, they're just kind of like shitty and spammy and like full of porn and like low quality people. I say low quality people, I mean like spammers and stuff like that.
I get tons of spam, tons.
Yeah. And that's, you're going to get a lot of that on free relays. But if you just pay like a lot of these relays are 1,000 sats, man, like, or, you know, it's, we're talking pennies that they're asking for.
Yeah, it's fuck all. Yeah,
they're not asking for a lot. Definitely worth having no ads kind of thing, you know, like, and then suddenly, you know, there's no spam and people are nice and there are no ads and things just work fast and zippy. So I think that is the play. The big problem we have right now is that all the relays are like only accepting Bitcoin. So like a normie who just wants to pay with their credit card, we should allow that. It shouldn't be Bitcoin only. As much as I love Bitcoin only, like we can't be a Bitcoin only thing if we want Nostr to win.
I can see your point, because if you'll be dragging in people that are non-Bitcoin people, I can see your point. Anything else you want to discuss about Nostr before we move on?
If you're one of those Bitcoiners that's on Twitter and talking shit about Nostr and you're not there, what is wrong with you? That's my question that I have. What is wrong with you? You like Elon? You like blue checks? Come on. Let's get on Nostr. Stop dicking around here. That's my message.
I agree. If you're not in it, it's hard to say anything bad about it because you don't have the first-hand experience to really give any insight. Now, if you are using it and you have issues with it, I could take that information because I would say that's constructive criticism more than anything else. But if you're not, you don't really have much to say about it. And UTXO and I were talking behind the scenes, and I haven't done very much with my Twitter account. And the reason why is I don't want to be the product. I mean, every time you tweet out there, you're giving out your information, you're part of the product, and I don't want to be part of that. And the Nostr community, it's a community, and there's no algorithm driving stuff. And if you want to contribute, you can. If you don't want to contribute, that's fine. And it's much more, it is decentralized. It's not much more, it is decentralized. And that jives well with my Bitcoin thinking. So I prefer Nostr to Twitter. And in fact, I want to say one thing. This is the first interview that we've had on a Canadian Bitcoiners podcast that was done through a interaction on Nostr. You reached out to us asking to come on the Nostr account, the show's Nostr account, I believe it was. And through that, we booked it. So this is the first time we use Nostr to book an interview. So congratulations. Thanks for doing that. This is uncharted territory for us.
There it is. We did it, man. We don't need Elon anymore. We can just use Nostr.
Agreed. I guess the last thing I want to touch on is you've been working on other apps that were free and open source programs for Bitcoin. What are they?
Sure. So I have a few, like, I do a lot of SDK stuff. So it's like sort of a theme. So I have an LND SDK. So there's this weird thing. I don't know how technical we want to like get on your show, but there's an ongoing meme that PHP, the programming language, is like such a shit coin and everybody hates it and it's so bad and like Bitcoiners don't want to touch it. But 70% of the internet runs on PHP, like WordPress, PHP, like Facebook, Wikipedia, PHP. But no Bitcoiners are building any tools in this language because they just like see it as beneath them. And sort of like, fair enough, like it is kind of shitty. But I do a lot of work there, you know. I'm like Andy Dufresne going through the pipe of shit so that people who run WordPress blogs, or you know, they're not high-end developers, they're just like basic developers that know basic languages, have an easy way to interact with Bitcoin and with LND and with BTC Pay Server. So a lot of the packages I do are like around that. And also a lot of the nodeless infrastructure is open source. So like one package that we recently released is we have a way to load balance nodes for high performance apps. So like even a lot of apps right now, take like Wallet of Satoshi, for example, they only have one node. So if their node goes down, all their users went down. So I built something in Rust called Lightning Cluster that allows you to like run one app off of like three load balance nodes. So if one goes down, the other ones just automatically become redundant. So I do a lot of like back end infrastructure type stuff, like behind the scenes type of work.
Are you 100% in Bitcoin in terms of is this your day job, so to speak?
I don't want to dox you.
I don't want to know what your day job is, but it seems like you were working a lot with Bitcoin. I'm wondering if this is your like 100% job.
The main way that I make money is I have SaaS apps and websites that just like earn passive income for me. So like mostly of what I do is in AI. I'm trying to make Bitcoin and Nostr work. Like I'm trying to build these into real businesses. But you know, Bitcoin is just really, it's really small right now. Lightning is small and there's a lot of noise with like shit coins and stable coins, but this will all clarify over time. But yeah, in short, it's just like I am very lucky that I have these like passive income assets that are able to like let me pursue my passions, which are Bitcoin and Nostr.
So then what are your thoughts on AI? Because it's gotten a lot of press in the past 6 months, maybe a little bit more than that. And what are your thoughts on it?
I mean, just in general, I really love it. I think that some people, the people who should be afraid are the people who are already afraid, kind of thing. Like, if you don't embrace AI, then I think you kind of are going to get bulldozered over. But like, if you love your work and you like to work hard, like, AI makes you a superhuman. It gives you insane abilities to do like way more with way less time. So I absolutely love AI. And, you know, that's what my next project is. I mean, I think I just said that a couple of days on Noster or something, that like, I just relaunched relaying.io. Nodeless is in a nice space, you know, just sort of earning passively, forwarding people their payments. Like, I don't really have to do much. So my next thing is definitely going to be an AI project, where it's just, you try to take some small thing that happens inside of a business, and just try to automate a small part of it, and then sell it as a SaaS solution, which is like how I've been making money for like the last 20 years. Like, that's just what I do. But recently I just got orange pilled so hard I got distracted from my real business. So yeah, that's basically what's going on with me.
And it's good to have you in a Bitcoin community, because you seem to have an idea where things should be going, and you're building tools to help us get there. And I want to just talk a little bit more about AI. And a lot of people, as you mentioned, are scared about AI because there's the potential of taking away some jobs, especially some jobs with a repetition or menial tasks that can be done through AI. So do you subscribe to the theory that this may create a lot of unemployed people in the country or even in the world?
No, I don't subscribe to that at all. You know, I read this, there's this book, I think it's called Why Nations Fail. Or it could have been The Guns, Germs, and Steel. I don't know. There was a book that covered this perfectly, okay? So there was a time when people made textiles by hand, okay? There was no sewing machine. And the vast majority of the economy, way more than is today, that would be displaced by AI. Like, the whole economy was just people making textiles, right? And then the sewing machine shows up. And everyone's like, oh my God, what are we going to do? No one's going to have a job. But it turns out the economy just got more diverse and people specialized even more. So I would say, like, if your job is doing something stupid and menial, like, thank God you can now do something better and something that challenges you and something that interests you, because we could get AI to do stupid stuff. So that then now AI is doing like lawyer stuff. That's not like stupid, but it also sort of is, you know, like, there's only one law. I don't need like a million lawyers to write fucking privacy policy every time I make a website. So like a lot of that, like, it should be reduced, and those lawyers can like work on something real and like maybe just not be like fiat circle jerking or whatever. So I think it's great. I don't think it's going to cost. I think all of this is a bunch of nonsense. I think people are just going to get better, more rewarding jobs, and businesses will be more profitable. And I think it's going to be great.
Do you think it's going to be an easy transition, or there's going to be a period of difficulty before everything transitions to what the new economy will be once AI is implemented? Is it, what I'm looking at is, I'll just expand on that question. It's because right now the economy, and I'm speaking broadly within Canada, and I don't want to talk much about the rest of the world, but in Canada, things are not going all that well because the interest rates are jumping up. We're bringing in lots of people into Canada. So finding a home is expensive. Rent has gone up, but there's not enough jobs out there. So every time there's a job posting, I see videos of lines wrapped around the store. So it's difficult to make ends meet right now for people that are coming in, and new people, and people just in the bottom rung of the ladder. So what's going to happen to them? Like, do you think that they're going to have an easy transition, or is it going to just be a real challenge for them? Or is this an opportunity even for something like UBI?
I think it's sort of like the opposite of that. Like I think they'll try to pitch UBI. I think like that's what the government's going to like try to do. And just like everything they do, they're just going to make it twice as bad. Like, the problems are just going to get worse. Those lines are going to get longer. People are going to be even more unemployed. Like, it's just everything is going to get worse. But there always reaches a breaking point where there is creative destruction. And this is good. And there's always pain in the short term. Like, when a business goes under, like, that's like, it sucked when Blockbuster went out of business. I loved Blockbuster. I have many fond memories of going there with my dad, you know. It sucked, but yeah, and those people found new jobs, and you know, like, Netflix is just like, streaming is just better, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, that's okay, and it's fine, and things are better. Or maybe not. I mean, the 90s were awesome, but
nostalgia may be kicking in too. Every time frame has their advantages and disadvantages. 90s were fucking awesome, I have to admit.
I think AI will create more opportunities and like freer markets. Like, one huge problem, and in my view at least, like my summation of like what causes huge problems that we have in Canada, is that we basically do not have free markets anywhere. You know, like, our biggest industry is banking and real estate. That's 100% regulated, control the supply of houses, control the supply of money, control the cost of money. Like, only 7 banks and they're all the same. It doesn't matter. Like, that's not really a choice. CIBC versus RBC, it's the same thing. Like, all of that. And then you have telecoms. So it's like all regulated. Like, everything we have is basically regulated. So eventually this like just, it just doesn't work. And then you have someone like, I'm not a big fan of Pierre Poilievre. I'm not really a fan of any politician, but eventually things get bad enough that people vote for a change, like a real actual change, not a kicking the can down the road. And, you know, in Canada, we did this in like 1992, 1993, when our banks were all failing. We actually like got our shit in order. We became a creditor nation, paid off all our debt. Like, we can do it, but something has to break. We just have to wait for it to break. And it's going to suck when it breaks, because look how everyone thinks they're rich because of their houses, even though there's not really much of an industry behind it. So I think it's, I don't know. I think it's going to hurt, but we got to do it.
You know, at the time when Canada was paying off its debt obligations in the 90s, when they had surpluses, it was done under same banner government that we have right now, but the ideology was slightly different.
Slightly is an understatement.
Paul Martin was a blue liberal. And that's just the reality of it. And also, the world was a totally different place too, where you had the Soviet Union collapse just before all that took place. And now you had all these markets that were opening up that were just hungry for all this American culture, Western nation culture, that just, it was a totally different world. And now I don't want to say it's worse, it's different. And we have to live with it. We have to deal with it. And AI is definitely going to have a huge impact moving forward in terms of shaping how we're going to be working, how we're going to be socializing, and just our day-to-day lives. And I'm excited to see what transpires from all this. Because ultimately, I'm in it for the ride. I may hate it, I may love it, but either way, I'm going to be part of it. So I'm, to be honest, I'm looking forward to this. And I'm sure you too. You're fucking chomping at the bits.
Yeah, there's just unlimited business opportunity here. And if you're just a day-to-day job person and you're not like an entrepreneur, which is fine. Like, most people are not entrepreneurs. Like, you could just be 10 times better at your job if you focus on how you can use AI in your workflows. And there's going to be people who don't do it. You know, they go to work, they're kind of in a haze, and they're just there to pay their bills and go home at 5 o'clock or whatever. And then there's some people who like love their work and want to build something great. And if you use AI for that, you are going to crush the coasters, just destroy them. So don't
yeah,
be a coaster.
Stuck in a rat race. Yeah. And so Joey's Achilles was asking if you're Canadian. I answered, yes, you are. He says, no wonder, he's so smart and handsome. So
he's talking about you.
No, heck no. It's definitely you. So UTXO, I mean, I want to thank you for coming on our show. And we've gone a little bit longer than we typically do. So I want to apologize for that. I didn't know if you had anything planned for this evening. I may have ruined your evening plans, but I want to thank you for coming on the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast. Now, before we sign off, I just want to hand over the baton to you, where people could find you, what you're working on. Just the floor is yours. You could talk about whatever you want before we close this thing off.
Sure. If you're interested in dank memes and like frog pictures and stuff, you could check out UTXO at nodeless.io on Noster. It's an easy way to find me. I honestly wouldn't recommend following me on Twitter, because I just don't really post there. Or if I do, I'm just like really upset and it's just going to like ruin the day. So go on Noster, good vibes, good times. You want to accept Bitcoin payments, check out nodeless.io. And you want to run your own relay, check out relaying.io.
Well, I appreciate you coming on our show. And with that, I'm going to say good day to everybody. And we'll be back on Monday with our regularly scheduled program at 7 p.m. So I would suggest tune in for that because it's going to be a lot of fun, just like we do every week. It's always dynamite. So UTXO, appreciate you coming on, brother.
Thank you very much, man. Great to be here.